prepare yourself. You're about to listen to Super Gamescast 64 with your host, Trey Mitchell, and your other hosts, Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, failure!
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Gamescast 64. This is your number one podcast for all things Xbox, because Austin made a great point a few weeks ago about how Xbox is winning.
This is going to go down in my life as my greatest regret of all time.
Yeah.
Is going on that tirade with Matt Birmingham about how Xbox is on top, they're winning, and they're nothing's ever going to take them down. And about 2 seconds later, I realized what a mistake I made.
It just crumbles.
The news just keeps rolling in that Microsoft has bungled this whole thing, and Xbox has got one foot in the grave. And I just want to apologize to all the Xboxes out there.
You apologize to all the people that got fired.
It's because you went on your tirade, getting them so excited, and then they just cut their legs out from underneath them.
Well, maybe if those people had pulled themselves up by their little bootstraps, worked a little harder, maybe they'd still be employed.
I think it's woke. That's what I think.
Xbox is woke.
It doesn't seem like Activision or Microsoft is doing very well right now.
It doesn't seem like large, gigantic acquisitions are good.
I wish all manner of destruction on Activision, and I hope that no one works there next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
So this year you can still work there.
Well, it's going to be a slow... I don't want it to be quick.
Yeah, he wants to give them 6 months to find a new job.
Okay. Yeah, I want it to be a slow demise.
That's very generous of you.
Thank you. I care about the people.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I know about you. You should care about people.
Austin,
I
don't
care
always, about the company. He always is saying to me, people over profits.
That's what I'm saying. But then I'm saying profits with an E over people. Because you know who's... You know, I'm trying to make a Jesus point.
A Jesus.
Connor knows what's up.
Not even spelled the same way, but yeah, I got it.
Jesus. The great Jesus. I guess we should get into the news.
We're not talking about your parents' landscaper.
One of them.
I guess we should get into the news. This is Trey Mitchell, me. This is Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover. And we got a lot of news, so let's just get right into it. And to start the news, we need a news song.
Well, since we've got low energy Trey today, figured I'd go with maybe a nice ballad, something, you know.
You don't
want to
do any of the Kendrick Lamar diss tracks?
Yeah, do a diss track. Do a diss track.
Okay, this is a diss to Kotaku's Games podcast.
Hmm? He's dissing another podcast.
Have, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're a bad one, Kotaku. Your stories really suck. We've got all the better stories and we break them before you, Kotaku. There we go. They'll never recover.
You know
from
who
that.
Would really love that song? A certain Side Scrollers podcast, because they hate Kotaku.
Really? Is Kotaku awake?
It's they're awoken.
Oh, it's because they're Japanese.
Yeah.
They're POCs.
Yeah.
And during AAIP month.
Okay. Connor, let's go through this.
Helldivers has had a hell of a weekend.
They have.
So, we'll walk through the most recent part of this story is that Sony basically backtracked on all of this. But over the weekend, Sony decided, hey, the only way that we want you to be able to play Helldivers now is if you have a PSN account. Despite the fact that a lot of people are playing it on PC.
Yeah, they want that data from the PC people.
No, they claim it's for safety. They claim for its... what did they say in the article? They claim it's so you can protect your account in the case of them banning people, right? Wasn't that what was up?
Well, hey, luckily Sony's never had any sort of leaks of customer data.
Breaches.
They've never gone down for like a week.
Yeah, that's never happened to Sony. They're bulletproof. So at first I was like, okay, what's kind of the big deal? Because I feel like people were getting a little you know how gamers are. You do one thing they don't like and they go crazy. But looking into it more, yeah, it's a shitty deal. They said they weren't going to do it. And then it was also like 100-something countries don't even have PSN.
That would be 150.
Yeah.
That's like most of the countries.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people. So yeah, it's not a good deal. It was very short-sighted of Sony. I think they got dollar signs in their eyes. And,
well, and yeah, like tons of people who had purchased the game wouldn't be able to play it after that.
Exactly.
And like Steam was the one having to deal with the refunds. Like PlayStation wasn't even like, yeah, if you bought the game and you like can't access a PlayStation account now, we'll refund you. Right. They just didn't give a shit. They want the data.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a lot of weird stuff here. Like the CEO of the company who created Helldivers didn't want this to happen, and Sony like, "Don't care."
They absolutely were do not care. Telling people to give bad reviews.
Yeah,
correct. And in fact, more than 200,000 of the 266,000 reviews on Steam as of Sunday, when they announced that this policy was going to go into effect on May 6th, were extremely negative.
That's the power of the people. They literally, the only thing that got this reverted back to its old way was the customers getting angry enough. Mm-hmm. And it prompted PlayStation to meet with the, what's the company called? Arrowhead. Yeah, they met. That was very robot Grego. they met with the guy, the head of Arrowhead, and who was apparently very transparent on Twitter and was giving everyone updates and said the people talked PlayStation back into going back.
Mm-hmm. Bullying works, Connor.
Yeah. I kind of love this. Yeah, bullying giant companies does work, and it should work.
Yeah.
It's almost like the consumers unionized together and got some positive change done for something that would have added no benefit to the consumers at all.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting here is this. Sony does appear to be wanting to tap more into the PC market. Because I think what we're learning all around is that the gaming market as presently constructed is not enough to keep revenue growing, which is what all these giant companies want. And so they now have to look for alternate revenue streams. This is what Microsoft's doing. This is what Sony, I guess, is now doing. Or at least they stuck their toe into it. And they don't
They've
know how
to do
They've
been doing it
more
and more. No. Yeah. Like, Ghost of Tsushima is coming on Steam, I think, in a week or so. And so, yeah, they've been doing it, you know, pretty heavily. I mean, the thing they could have done, it's like, I mean, they could have just been like, hey, there's some PlayStation skins that you could get for free if you sign into your PSN account.
Yeah, there was
they
no
could have
incentive.
Just done incentive.
They didn't
you know?
Incentivize at all. It was just like, hey, you can't play this game you paid for unless you go through this complicated process.
But see, even then, that's kind of difficult, right? Because what do you do for all those PC players who literally don't have PSN?
Well, they'll like, it see it. Exist. They'll see it and then be like, hey, I should get a PSN
you
account.
You can make a PSN account without a PlayStation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Still, though, you got to go through hoops.
Not really. Not that hard. It's not that difficult to do.
Oh, look at Mr. Bootlicking Sony guy over here.
Well, I'm saying, like, if you literally cannot create a legitimate PSN account, like, they really didn't think this through.
No, they didn't. They just got a little greedy.
This is the same thing that, was it Unity? They tried to pull last year with the like, 2% fee on all the games.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, like, how many times companies do something shitty like that, and then there's not enough backlash, and they just keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would, you know, hope we can unionize and get, like, Bloodborne 2 or something. Yeah.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. That's what the kids want.
Nintendo
kids yearn for Bloodborne.
Finally confirms a Switch successor, kind of.
They acknowledged it.
They did, in a very weird, businessy post.
President of Nintendo, I don't know his first name, but his last name is Shuntaro Furukawa.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Shigeru Miyamoto.
Took to the company's Twitter account to make the announcement himself, and his message all but confirms a next generation console, reportedly slated for this year, but will be delayed until 2025. His message makes mention of Nintendo's next gen console, saying how it will have been, quote, over 9 years since the Switch was announced, but also confirmed that there will be a customary Nintendo Direct in June.
Also, an important note is they said the next model of the Switch, so it confirms
it's
like a Switch, like another Switch. It's not something crazy.
I think we're at the point where any rumors that are coming in, like the magnetic Joy-Cons and stuff from last week, are pretty much substantiated at this point.
He did also stress that this Nintendo Direct that's in June, that they always do a June Direct, don't anticipate a mention of the Switch successor. Instead, it will focus on the rest of this year's lineup.
What do you think we're even going to get?
For the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Boy, I have no idea. They have to have some...
I think they mentioned the... What are we getting? The Paper Mario remakes. A couple of those. Something, right?
Yeah, one of those. Thousand Year Door.
We're getting some other remake. Some port of something, right?
Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah, that's what it is. So we're just kind of getting the last little
What
drops.
A barn burner.
I'm hoping, I'm praying for Wind Waker and Twilight Princess.
Hey, bud.
That's a Switch 2 situation, bud.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Why would it be Switch 2?
I don't think it's happening.
You know what they might
not
do?
For the rest of the year?
I don't think it's ever happening.
Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD?
I don't think they'll remake... They just
port the ones they remade. Put it on there.
They're not going to do that. Why? It's Nintendo.
Why not? It's smart.
Speaking of...
I think we're going to get some more... What I think they might announce is some of the Microsoft games coming to Switch in June.
Yeah. Master Chief coming on Switch.
Doubt it.
I met a guy over the weekend who's been in games development, and he said he's hung out with Shigeru Miyamoto twice.
Good for him.
I know. So we have an in with Shigeru if we need any suggestions.
Okay.
It's like six degrees of Kevin Bacon. We know someone who knows Shigeru Miyamoto.
2 degrees of Mario.
You know someone who knows King of the Hill guy.
What's his name?
Blanking on it. Mike Judge.
There you go.
Yeah. I have his number on my phone.
Me too.
Mike
Judge. From your sister.
Mike Jubb.
I have Jubb's number. He blocked me though.
Yeah, I'm sure he blocked your number.
Yeah, kept calling him.
But yeah, we've got nothing but just the last dregs of the Switch slowly being dragged
out. It's the metaphorical, like we're wringing out the very last of this towel. Like there's nothing, there's almost nothing left.
Why don't they just release the Switch too? It sounds like it's ready. Which we'll get to in our next story.
I think it's the games.
That or I am still been reading that Console Wars book. Nintendo definitely likes to not send enough consoles to facilitate all the people that buy.
I think they've stopped
doing
that.
Well, that's what the third story you sent us, Connor, mentions that the reason that they've delayed the Switch is because they want to have enough back stock to avoid another thing.
Oh,
where
you
no
mean
one can
this
find Switches.
Story that I've just switched to?
Ooh. Oh.
Nintendo.
Oh, Switch, like a Switch.
Forecasts 13.5 million Switch sales for the current financial year, which ends next March.
Which means they probably have something in the hopper.
Yeah.
You would assume so.
Pokemon.
Metroid Prime 4.
I doubt that's coming to Switch.
They're going to waste it on that.
They're going to put it on. Yeah, they're going to waste it for the swan song of the Switch. I don't think so.
I don't think
so. It is crazy that we're in the eighth year.
Yeah. And well, and they said the next one will come out. It'll have been, over 9 years? So that confirms it's going to be real late.
Yeah, we need something. They have to have something up their sleeve, because if they want to get to this 13.5 million, they're either going to have a game or they're going to cut the price or something.
What about
they cut the price of the light?
What about porn on the Switch?
Go on.
You can download all the Princess Peach nudes that you want, but you have to buy a Switch. Got to buy a new one. Comes preloaded with Daisy and Toadette sucking on those weird hair things, you know?
What?
Trey knows what's up. Toadette's got those weird hair mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what's up.
Trey's checking out Birdo porn.
Yeah.
What
goes in that mouth?
Birdo porn.
Do you think that big mouth is moist?
Yeah. I've seen what's on your phone.
Do you think Kirby is wet or dry in the inside?
I think it's just razor sharp in there.
Razor sharp.
I like to imagine
it just shreds you.
I like to imagine that the inside of Kirby is just like a black hole void of nothingness.
Yeah,
you just get sucked
into another
in.
Dimension.
Light can't escape. You're just depressed.
Yeah,
it's like being in a Pokeball.
Yeah, yeah, Austin.
Yeah.
Nintendo taking down more emulators after they went after 8,535 Switch emulator backups in a mass takedown this week.
Good.
Yeah.
No one should be able to emulate stealing.
Those games that they refused to sell?
Yeah.
No one has the right to play
no
them.
No one has the right
no
to
one
play
should
them.
Enjoy them.
No.
Because the reported network contained an allegedly infringing content was larger than 100 repositories, the submitter alleged that all or most of the forks were infringing on the same extent as the parent repository. GitHub has processed the takedown notice against the entire network, so they received a cease and desist.
Damn. Hope you got all your emulators before this happened, Trey.
I know.
How are you going to Twitch stream now?
We'll see.
Dolphin? It's gone?
I guess. No, you can still use it.
How are you gonna play all your Mario porn parodies?
Yeah.
I don't have a Mario porn parody.
I saw you looking at Birdo and Tracer doing some
Tracer?
Stuff.
Tracer?
Yeah. Sticking her big round ass in that Birdo hole.
He's looking it up, folks.
He's looking it up right now. Why is he, are you looking up Birdo and Tracer hentai? It's got to be there.
It exists, no doubt. No doubt. All right, well, while Trey's doing that, Hades 2 is available for playing.
Open beta?
Yes.
Ooh, for how long?
Supergiant Games released Hades 2 into early access on Mondays. The game is in a pre-release version. It's certainly not a completely unpolished work in progress. A select number of players have tried it as part of a technical test. Now, PC users can download the earliest version on Steam and the Epic Games Store right now.
Do I want to do this? Like, this is a game that I feel like you want to just let it hit you when it's fully developed. You're going to blow part of your load if you go in and play like half-finished Hades game.
The team has said the early access version would launch with, quote, at least as much content as the early access version of the original Hades.
Okay. Is Hades a property that needs to be expanded? I feel like it's ripe for either like a TV show or some side games.
It'd be too sexy for a TV show.
Trey, continue your search and just search Hades.
I can't find it. Okay. Oh, no. That's you just get porn if you just search Hades.
Look up Hades nuts.
No. I'm good.
Okay.
Polygon did a pro-con list of why you should or shouldn't play this version, Austin. So you might like this.
Okay.
Pros of playing it. The developers plan to allow your save data to carry over between versions.
Ooh.
The
what save data would you need? Like, it's starting like fresh, right?
Yeah, but just like Hades, you can unlock things.
Yeah, it's
true. Okay.
You can beat it.
Like, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant from the first game to this
one. No, sorry, Hades 2.
Okay.
The combat feels polished, so the combat's pretty close to done.
Nice. That's good.
There's a lot of content. The reasons to wait for full release, hey now. you pay full price for an in-progress game that doesn't have a final release date yet, so.
Yeah.
Not all the characters or final art are done. And the full Hades story is not complete yet.
Yeah, I feel like those are all really important aspects of Hades. Like, the art is what makes it. And why would you want to go in and see, to play basically the same game, but with like unfinished art, which is the appeal of the new one?
It's just if you can't wait.
Yeah.
We'll try it out. We'll help with bugs. Make sure it's all working.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. If you want to help out, you get it. You can play with your eyes closed so you don't see any of the stuff.
Exactly.
Microsoft closed a bunch of Bethesda studios.
Wow.
After, I believe they were, I believe they said, we're not going to do that. Last week.
They said that Tango Gameworks is an integral part of the future, and
what did Tango make again?
They did Hi-Fi Rush.
Yes.
That's right.
Which
and
was a
Arcane
big seller.
Is like, it's really fun. I liked it. I haven't beaten it. I should probably want to go back to play it now.
Okay, but didn't Microsoft crack the whip at Bethesda? Like, hey, get these games out faster. Also, we're cutting half your studios.
I don't think they cracked the whip.
But
remember the announcement last week by Bethesda that was like, we're going to get these Fallout and Elder Scrolls out.
They didn't
out.
Say that. That they're going to get them out quicker. They just said, it, you know, there's a timeline.
Hey, but at least what? They did it the best way possible via email. Today, I'm sharing changes we are making to our Bethesda and ZeniMax teams. These changes are grounded in prioritizing high-impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio of blockbuster games. Would you like to know my pet theory on this?
Okay.
Yes.
They're saying, hey, we didn't capitalize on any of the Fallout stuff. There needs to be a Fallout game the next time we release a new season of Fallout.
Yeah.
I'm willing...
So everyone work on Fallout?
I'm willing to bet, not a new Fallout, I'm willing to bet they're going to do a remake and they're like, hey, we need to consolidate because this has to come out.
It's depressing because, I mean, there's a whole bunch of factors to the story, but, I mean, it's like... You know, we'll get to Activision. It's like Activision pulling people off of interesting, unique projects to do Call of Duty. So now, I mean, as much as I like Fallout and Elder Scrolls...
I wouldn't compare Call of Duty to Fallout and Elder Scrolls,
though. But it's the same thing. It's like, we're gonna do two games, one or two games, and that's it. And those are the only the cash...
But that's kind of been Bethesda's MO.
But no, they've had all these other little studios, like Arkane.
Right.
They have the guys who did Wolfenstein and Doom.
Yeah.
You know, they have... all these little studios that make interesting smaller games. Like Arkane is a very niche sort of creator. You know, they make these right. very immersive sim kind of games. I mean, they're...
But I think Bethesda's creative bread and butter is their central franchises. And yeah. so I guess this is a way to kind of stop funneling resources to smaller games that aren't making a lot of money to focus on the ones that people love.
Yeah, but a lot of people loved Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah, which they probably should have kept.
They probably should have kept that studio. And
but I think Bethesda is known for its big open world RPGs, and if you can funnel...
So are you saying this is a good move?
To a degree, yeah. If it helps them get their flagship franchises out faster.
I kind of disagree with you,
I think if they're spread too thin, I mean... What?
But this is different studios. This isn't right. Bethesda.
No,
they're,
I know, but
they can hire more people to make those games.
There still is central Bethesda, which has to then expend resources to keep those studios running. So why they should Bethesda if they want to make indie games?
They spent $69 million to you know acquire Activision and all these people, but they can't keep these studios running and make.
I think
smaller
titles. I think that was the idea. They don't want smaller titles. They want the meat.
Well, then it's pretty shitty.
I
and
guess
it's a shitty way the industry is going.
Consolidation is always bad. But I think now if Bethesda pumped out a Call of Duty every year, yes, I'd agree with you fully because that's just like mindless like money crap. But the Bethesda puts really good effort into their flagship
franchises.
You could
argue the last few games haven't been that great. Starfield.
Yeah, true.
Fallout 76, and people had problems with Fallout 4. I like.
Here's
it,
the thing.
Know.
Well, the only. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, while that is true, Fallout 4 sold a ton.
Yeah, people loved it. And the only people who didn't like it were the hardcore gamers.
Fallout 76, as much as we like to clown on it and we made fun of it and regular Fallout people don't like it, there are people spending money on that game.
Oh, and apparently it's gotten really good. I was reading a Reddit thread today about they were like, this seems like it was a game that was basically in development as the New Vegas to Fallout 4. And then it kind of got turned into an MMO for whatever reason because they were like, you rarely see other players. This is basically a single player game. People were like, this is great. Like, this is basically a New Vegas. And I think it's good that they focus on stuff like that. Like, they haven't been putting out absolute stinkers. Like, they've made money.
I just think these studios that make unique games, I think they should have a chance to make more unique games.
Right, so they can go be independent.
They're not going to be independent. They're closed.
Right, but they were initially independent. Then they got bought by Bethesda.
I don't think those franchises, they own those. I think Bethesda owns those. So Arkane can't just go make another Dishonored or another Prey.
Well, to be fair, the last Dishonored sucked. And the other thing they made, which was Redfall, was not good either.
Right.
I think that you're
but
going
I agree.
Against your own point because it like yes, Fallout 4 and 76 and Starfield were not as great, and maybe the reason was because they were spread too thin.
But those
amongst,
are different studios.
I know, but Central Bethesda still has to expend resources to keep those running. Mm-hmm. They have to expend manpower and money, and I think Microsoft, as shitty as it is to close studios and fire people, is like, hey, the main stuff you're making hasn't been as good, and the indie titles you're making haven't been as good. We need to pick one and focus on it, so they pick the flagships.
I mean, it's still shitty that these companies are closing and people are losing jobs.
Yeah, but you can make great indie games with like four people. Like you don't need these huge, or not huge.
Tango GameWorks wasn't huge.
Yeah, I know, but they can reconsult the people can form their own new game company and start to make games again. Like they'll find a new investor, and like it's not like Microsoft is like crushing these and then being like, no.
So you don't think it's a bad move and that Phil Spencer should maybe be fired for this?
Fired?
No, because
a lot of people are calling for him being fired.
No, because I can almost guarantee you that this will increase their stock price.
Yes, this is going to make more money, and it's going to make Bethesda's flagships better. And the main thing is, because last week Todd Howard did say we're going to try to get these flagships out faster.
I don't know. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't.
I mean, you know, my taste in movies is big blockbuster spectaculars. Yeah. I don't have that much in my heart for smaller games.
But I think it enriches the industry, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And, like, you need to have both. Like,
yeah.
You need to have the smaller indie titles and the big.
Yeah,
AAA.
And I'm saying other ones will pop up in their place. It's not like indie games are going away forever. It's like
it's I don't know, Connor. Do you think there's a crash coming?
Like a
industry
crash?
No. This is a contraction, though, because I think a lot of people during the pandemic misread what the video games industry was doing. I think a lot of people thought, hey, this thing's going to continue to grow and continue to grow and continue to grow. And so they did things like buy up other companies, put a ton of money into stuff. But now there's not angel investors who are interested in investing in video games. The studios are too big and bloated, so they have to cut people and they have to consolidate. And they're not seeing the revenue that they hoped to see. It's not good. I don't like that people are losing their jobs. I don't like that things had to be I don't like that things are being consolidated at all. But, I mean, as someone who enjoys the medium, like, this feels like maybe the only way we're going to continue to get games, because the only way companies are going to invest is if they put more people into titles that they know are going to sell, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, but then you're going to just get Candy Crush and Call of Duty, and I don't really want to be in that world.
But why are you lumping? There's no Medium. There's no Skyrim.
Not what they want. I mean,
I think Microsoft took over Bethesda, which I didn't like, but I think they saw it and were like, hey, especially after Starfield, they're like, look, these games kind of suck. They've been getting progressively worse. What's going on? They looked where the resources were going. And perhaps Bethesda is just spread too thin, and so they're like, let's cut some of these smaller studios loose and focus on what we know people like.
I mean, I get that you're talking about the rationale, but what their thought process was, but why can't, you know, these bad decisions they made in 2020, why can't the CEOs be held accountable?
But I don't really count cutting these studios as like a horrible fireable decision. Like, yes, I wish they could have stayed open to enrich
but
the
like,
industry.
But also Microsoft, they've been giving a lot of promises. They've been talking a lot of big stuff, but now it's like they've not released any good first party titles in a long time.
Halo 3.
Halo 3?
Yeah, Halo 3 was great.
That was a long time ago, buddy.
It's last year.
They haven't released a really good one in a while. All like their projects are in the pipe or like,
yeah.
Who knows where what is it? Not Quest, but that
Holodeck or whatever.
You're thinking of Hollow Knight.
No.
Not you, Austin. Austin is.
Yeah. What's the one where you can make your own like medieval fantasy story? Fable. Who knows when Fable's coming?
Well,
I know
so
Perfect
then,
Dark has been in sort of hell for
so then
a while.
Maybe that's what they're doing with this is like, hey, we're obviously not putting effort into making flagship franchises, so Bethesda, you just make our new ones.
And like the new Halo has been bad. You know, that Halo Infinite.
I think they're Microsoft is going away from being a first party developer, to be completely honest.
What are they? Because Game Pass is stagnant now.
They're buying
what do you mean?
they're buying things to make them the quote-unquote first-party developers, which they're going to run out of. That's what you're right. Like, we're going to reach critical mass faster than companies can come up and make new stuff.
The industry is going to cannibalize itself at some point. But I don't think saying, hey, putting effort into some of the, you know, the most legendary gaming franchises of the last 30 years is necessarily a bad thing. People like the hits.
But why not, you know, give someone an opportunity to make a new hit franchise?
They have, and it hasn't been working out.
Hi-Fi Rush was, like, critically acclaimed, sold well, didn't sell well enough, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it did. I think
it was also on Game Pass.
I think it was a flash in the pan for a little bit. People thought it was great.
People loved it. It won awards at the Game Awards. You know, it was a beloved game. And they said that they were happy with it, with the sales and all that, but it wasn't enough. So, I mean, now our company is going to be a little worried about working with Microsoft. Like, oh, if I get, you know, work with them, are they just going to... close the studio down?
But I think Hi-Fi Rush, yes, was a moderate success. But I think, like Connor was saying, like Prey and Dishonored didn't do well.
Yeah, those are, you know, they're very niche games.
Right, and so Microsoft says, hey, we've got limited resources. We need to pick where we're focusing.
So I'm looking at Hi-Fi Rush right now, just so you know. I'm looking at the sales on Steam. And the peak of players, for example, Starfield at the
time. It was a Game Pass game, though.
That's first. Fine, but I'm just telling you what the raw numbers are, because Starfield was also a Game Pass game. From April 30th to May 7th, there were 5,974 people playing, at this time, Starfield. There were 315 playing Hi-Fi Rush. The 24-hour peak for May 7th was 7,070 people for Starfield and 387 people for Hi-Fi Rush.
Are you shocked how low Starfield is?
Oh, hold on. I'm about to shock you more. You want to know what the all-time peak for Starfield was?
Yeah.
330,000 people.
That's... Like, Halo 2 matchmaking stuff was hitting like a million.
This is also on Steam. I want to make that clear.
Right.
But still...
like 7,000 people playing Starfield right now. That's sad. But 315 people playing Hi-Fi Rush. I don't think that doesn't really hold cultural cachet.
Yeah, but does every game have to have cultural cachet?
I mean,
every movie has to be a Marvel movie.
No, but every movie
that's not cultural cachet.
No, but every movie has to make money.
Audiences.
Yeah.
Every movie has to make money.
Yeah, but do you think the projections are too high?
I'm not even talking money. I'm just talking it needs to resonate with large numbers
of
people. But clearly it didn't, or people would be talking about it and playing it and like...
Well, it's also a single-player game. I mean, it's a story game.
Someone else made a good point that like they said, I didn't even know Hi-Fi Rush existed until I found out this studio was closing. Like, to be completely honest with you, the three of us...
I guess I'm a little more in, like...
We're more plugged in. Like,
I guess...
We all knew Hi-Fi Rush.
I guess
Rush.
I'm more plugged in, yeah.
We all know
Hi-Fi
Rush.
We're aware
Rush.
Of Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'll do the thing that we do. We go out on the corner by Starbucks and ask 1,000 people walking by.
No one's going to know.
But I bet a lot of people would know... Not a lot, but I bet leagues more people would know Skyrim.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you, yes.
So that holds cultural cachet,
sure.
What I'm saying.
But like, does everything need to hold cultural cachet?
Yes, I think so. Invest stuff in it, yes.
But like, I think there was a lot of people who liked the game.
But clearly not enough. Like, cultural cachet just means like it resonated with people and it, you know, goes around the community and people are aware of it and stuff. That's more what I'm talking about. Like, if you're making... Yes, every game needs to have that. If you're not having that, like, sales aside, if your game is not being talked about or enjoyed...
I mean, I disagree with you. I mean, I think it is being talked about. I mean, the numbers on Steam for that was, like, on Game Pass. I mean, and that was for today, Game Pass? When was that?
That was from... it was May 30th to May 7th.
I mean, honestly, until recently, I thought Hi-Fi Rush was Sunset Overdrive. Like, I got the two confused. I don't really even know what...
I get Hi-Fi Rush and Neon White confused.
Sure.
Like, I think something holds cultural cachet if people who don't play games are aware of what it is. Like someone who's tangentially related to games should be able to describe what Hi-Fi Rush is, and I couldn't tell you. I know it's like cel-shaded and...
Yeah, it's like a beat-em-up, but it's like with a beat.
So it's like Cadence of Hyrule?
A little bit. Yeah, you don't have to totally follow the beat, though, but a little bit, yeah.
Like, even if you're not seeking out Hi-Fi Rush information, if it held enough cultural cachet to be relevant, you wouldn't have to seek out that information. You would just know.
So what about Hades?
Yeah, I think Hades has, like, tons of fan art. People play it. I hear people who are not big gamers talk about it and play it. Hey, Connor, check on your little machine there how many Hades players there are.
Okay, hold on.
He's logging into the mainframe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, Hades right
so
now.
So you don't think it should be allowed to exist?
I didn't say that. I'm saying, yeah, it's a shame those closed, but if it means we're getting better and faster flagship, like, huge game experiences that people like and are good, then yeah, I'm for that.
You ready?
Yep.
20,000 people are playing Hades right now.
Wow, that's almost 3 Starfields.
Its 24-hour peak was 36,000 people.
So, like, that is clearly people are...
Well, here's what's crazy. Here's the crazy Hades thing. The 24-hour peak in the last week has been 36,000 people. The all-time peak was 37,000 people 4 years ago.
Really?
So
that's weird.
This is a game, I think, that doesn't peak high, but is always on. So there's maybe something to be said about that.
Nice. It's got replay value. And it also resonated with people, the characters and everything.
Well, I love it, yeah.
Like, I can name all my favorite characters from Hades. Zeus, Hades.
I like Demeter.
Yeah, you know, Trey, people didn't know those names before Hades.
A friend of mine, a coworker of mine, bought that Skull Guy plushie.
Who bought a Hi-Fi Rush plushie?
I'm sure there's one by.
Boil it down, I'm saying it sucks that these... Like, I want more studios making more games. That's great.
Well, like, I hope you don't want studios making Tony Hawk, because Activision cut Tony Hawk games to make more Call of Duty.
Allison
just wants more Call of Duty.
Can I give an unpopular opinion?
Tony Hawk sucks? Yes, you're right.
I don't give... Not that it sucks. I don't give a shit about Tony Hawk. And the people our age, it's like blasphemy.
That's a spoiler for my list later.
Oh, I do like Tony Hawk.
Let me clarify.
Hawk.
I love Tony Hawk the guy.
I mean, I like the game, though. I grew up
I'm talking about the game. I don't give a shit about the game.
I don't like it being timed, but I do like the game.
I've never gotten into it, and I've never really liked it.
It's fine.
So, you know what? I'm glad that this is happening.
Okay.
I hope all those people lose their jobs and get hit by a bus.
You know what? I hope all games get canceled, and it's just Call of Duty and Candy Crush and Fortnite.
Okay, you can't compare Call of Duty and Candy Crush to Skyrim and Fallout.
No, I hope Skyrim and Fallout fail, too, because those aren't, you know, going to make that much money. They're not going to... How do you get people to buy buy stuff with Skyrim?
Skyrim...
You need people in there buying skins, buying guns... Playing forever.
Horse armor.
You need to get that. So it needs to be the three games that need to exist are Call of Duty, Candy Crush, and Fortnite.
And Wind Waker HD.
That's it. No. Nintendo needs to be consolidated.
And Majora's Mask HD.
Yes. And Majora's Mask HD.
Glover.
Just keep making that.
Okay.
That's what I think needs to happen. Austin agrees.
Hey, if you're... we talked about this before, but...
Every movie should be a Marvel movie.
Okay, I knew you were going there. And I don't think they're comparable, but we'll talk offline.
Starting May 9th, if you have Amazon Prime, you can download Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition and all of the DLC for free.
It's like $2 on Steam. You can just own it.
Yeah, you can own it.
Okay.
It's really easy
I'm just letting you know that it's
don't
available.
Give Jeff your money.
CEO and entrepreneur, born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos.
This is just for everybody. Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is every single Mass Effect game, plus all the DLC, is available for $6 on Steam until May 13th.
I bought it on PS5.
For $6?
Yes.
Worth it.
So
it's
if
like
you
half a 12-pack.
If you've never played them, I'm looking at you, Austin.
$6. In that same Reddit thread about Fallout 76, people were talking about the like leveling system in that, and it's very Mass Effect-like, and people were like, I don't like that, because you can just switch your perks at any time, basically, and just
that
always be a super soldier.
That is not true in Mass Effect, I don't believe.
Okay.
There is... So you can pick a specific playstyle, but there is always one that you can pick that's like, you can learn all of this stuff.
Okay.
So as long as you don't pick that one, then you can be tech guy, or you can be magic guy, or you can be gun guy.
Okay. Once I'm done playing Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on Trey's PS5, I'll play all the Mass Effects.
Shadow of the Erdtree will be the first and last expansion for Elden Ring.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Gonna play. Have you beaten Elden Ring?
No, I got close. I have not beaten it. This comes out July, right?
June.
Ooh, it's getting close. I might need to brush up on that. Know what I'm saying, Trey? Are you aware of what I am saying?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this thing looks cool, and that's all they're gonna do, which I kind of like. Which means they had a very specific thing in mind, and this fits into that.
I mean, that's typically how expansion... I don't want to call this an expansion pack, but it's more than a DLC. It's typically how those used to work, where you'd make one, maybe two expansions to a game, and then focus on the next one, which I'm cool with.
Shovel Knight made, like, 20.
Yes, and all of the Shovel Knight DLCs are fun. I beat them all.
And they're all made by Bethesda.
No, they're all made by...
No small studios.
They're all made by Yacht Club Games.
Yeah.
And then
they should be bought by Activision and then crushed.
I have a surprise story that I didn't share with you guys because I wanted to get your real life... I wanted to get inside information from Austin. Austin, tell me everything about this 7-Eleven Slurpee cup that I can play Tetris on.
Austin!
So, has that been... The it's out in the open now?
This is a Kotaku story that I'm reading that was published today.
Really?
Yeah.
I will have to... Do they reference my TikTok in there?
Let's see. Thanks to a...
I posted two.
Hold on. Let me see what the links...
I'll call you 10 years from now to interview you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't... The story doesn't share to a TikTok or anything.
Shit.
But it's just like...
We partner with a game... company once or twice a year. Last year we did, first year I joined, we partnered with Rocket League, then Fortnite, then last summer was Pac-Man, and this year it's Tetris. And we have a Slurpee shaped little console with a screen that plays Tetris on it. I shot some TikToks with it the other day. People were bad at it, including me. I'm really bad at Tetris. We're making 20,000 of them. I don't know how you can get them.
Can you give me one?
No. I'm winking at Trey now. I actually don't know if I can. Okay. I will see what I can do.
He'll have to go check the promotions closet and see if there's any in there.
Yeah. Steal some Bluetooth speakers. That was you, right?
No. Never stole Bluetooth speakers.
Okay.
You can
hand to God.
7collection.com.
Hand to God, everyone. Did you steal any shirts from the promotions closet?
Oh, yeah. Shirts, yes.
I don't think I did.
Stole shirts. Got stickers.
I took a shirt. I think I took a bobblehead.
I definitely took the Indiana Jones Blu-ray and the Jaws Blu-ray that were given out for some reason.
That's awesome.
I definitely took the Indiana Jones Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Has
that sentence ever been uttered?
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, hey, we thought of at work really quick. This is unrelated to games, but then we'll move on to what you've been playing. At work, I introduced the would George Washington have a brain aneurysm if you had this sentence? and the sentence today was, hey, do you want to dip some chicken nuggets in the, hold on, let me find out what the exact Cheez-It Ranch thing is called.
God. Did they have chicken nuggets back then?
No, they didn't. We looked it up. it is the, all right, hold on. You have to read it very specifically.
Okay.
It is, hey, would you like to dip some chicken nuggets in the Hidden Valley registered, the original ranch registered, Cheez-It trademark, cheesy ranch condiment and dressing.
George Washington would surrender to the British immediately if he saw.
In 1776, we learned not only had fried chicken not been invented yet, or been invented like within the last decade, so he would have been unfamiliar with that. Chicken nuggets were not invented until the mid-1900s. ranch did not exist until the 1800s, and mayo was only around for about 20 years. So even trying to explain to him, like, no, ranch is kind of like mayo, but then you have to explain, no, but mayo is if you just took, like...
Mash up eggs.
Eggs and oil.
started Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. They had a whole bunch of mayonnaise on the ships.
Oh, makes sense.
And it got sunk, so it sunk Cinco de Mayo.
Sidebar, there's a great YouTube channel called Townsend's, and it's a guy who explores 18th century food, and he does a series called Time Travel Food that, like, oh, if I went back in time and wanted to give Ben Franklin a cheeseburger using only things they had back then, how would I do it? And he, it's really interesting. It's basically what Connor just got.
I found it's a TikTok guy that just makes a different sandwich every day. It's called Sandwiches of History, and today was a salmon and olive sandwich.
Ooh.
You know, I used to listen to a podcast that would do, like, a story about a word a day.
Okay.
And it was really interesting.
You know, I was actually thinking about doing some more word story today.
Oh, yeah?
I was in the shower. I was like, might bust out that list pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the Mavs game the other day with Adam. Not your Adam, my Adam. Mm-hmm. And we were doing the George Washington thing because it was just like,
yeah,
there was they had Machine Gun Kelly's guitar player,
yeah,
on a, like, suspended stage while flames shot up, mm-hmm, and lasers pointed at him. And as they called out these Latvian and Slovenian people's names, he just would do riffs on the guitar. And there was just lights and people dancing. And I was like, would George Washington just dissolve in his seat if he saw this? And then later, there was a promotion that just said,
well, he sees a bunch of black guys being free. Well, yeah, he's going to dissolve.
They had this sentence around the arena that just said, get loud for free chicken. And we were like, would George Washington understand the concept of get loud for free chicken?
I just developed a new podcast that we can do together, Austin, and it's called
Free Chicken?
No, it's just called George Washington Aneurysm, and we diagram a sentence a week, and we just go through and, like, how would we even explain this to George Washington? This is a 20-minute episode a week. Write it down, somebody. We can come up with a better name, but okay. I think this is a great idea.
Well, I'd love to join.
We'll determine whether or not George Washington survives at the end of each
yeah
week.
Like, honestly, I think Ben Franklin, probably easier to explain the Hidden Valley Ranch, yeah, TM Cheez-It
he liked
dip.
Ranch.
Like, I think you could explain that to him, and he'd be like, okay.
It should be a thing where we switch off each week. We each get a different sentence.
We just present.
And then one of us plays George Washington, the other one, yeah. And then you have to, as George Washington, come up with loophole. Like, well, I don't know what that is. Well, explain this.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you expend too much energy, George Washington is dead by the end of the episode.
I love it. We'll come up with an idea.
Trey can play
Abraham Lincoln.
Rosa Parks,
sure.
Because he just sits at the back of the podcast and doesn't talk.
And this episode will be called George Washington Aneurysm or something like that.
I was going to put fuck Xbox, but we can
okay
put, what is it, free chicken?
Get loud for free chicken.
Yeah, write that one down like that.
Hey, so what you been playing, Trey? Oh, actually,
so
I have a question before what you been playing. Who you been letting ride?
Well, so, you know the Byron Nelson was going on Sunday?
You know I don't, but continue.
So, I guess it was going on. I didn't realize it either. And I did a couple rides in Frisco.
Can I guess really quick?
At the end of the Byron Nelson.
Can I guess really quick?
Yeah.
All white.
The passengers weren't the problem. I mean, it was like,
well,
yeah,
I
was
didn't.
Like a group of
first
people.
Off, I wasn't making it seem like non-white passengers would be a problem, Trey. I was just guessing that they were all white because they were at a golf tournament.
They were all white, yes. So I go there once, pick some people up, drop them off,
uh-huh,
and then I get one back, and everything is kind of like blocked off by cops.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're all little motorcycles,
mm-hmm,
and I'm actually gonna fast forward to the final ride I did.
Okay.
That day.
Were they getting progressively drunker?
No, I only did like a few rides. It wasn't too many rides.
Okay.
But the last one, it was a lady who actually worked there. She was working there as a server,
okay,
or a bartender.
Okay.
And she was telling me how shitty the McKinney cops are there. Just assholes.
I can see that.
Yeah. Like just being rude and mean to the Uber people. They did not like the Ubers coming in at all. Like, they were anti-Uber drivers.
You're one
in
of the most oppressed groups in the
yeah
country.
Yeah, you really are.
Hold on to that thought.
Okay.
Hold on to that
I
thought.
I like where
Austin
this is going.
Hold on to that thought. So, flashback. I am waiting for this guy.
He's got the cop's knee
the
on
car
the back of his neck.
I'm waiting on this guy. I'm like, okay. And I'm kind of parked right behind some buses, and the only way to go is straight, and that road leads to the highway. And I'm kind of driving forward because I think they're, like, kind of more towards that way. and I'm like, I am at where the cop is trying to direct people onto the highway, and there's like a little intersection, and then there's next to me there's like a parking lot that I could like swerve into.
Right.
And so I'm like, I don't want to get on the highway. So I kind of like go around the cop a little bit, but then I go into the parking lot. And the cop gets this little motorcycle, comes up right next to me, starts yelling at me, "Roll your window down! Roll your window down!"
Did you tell him you know your rights?
What? And he's like, "How drunk are you that you just went behind a cop?" And I'm like, I'm an Uber driver. He's like, "Well, how come you guys don't know how to do anything? How can you be so stupid to get behind a cop? You never get behind a cop. You people make our job so hard."
Wait, there's a law that you can't get behind?
I don't know.
What does he mean, get behind?
I don't know.
You can't.
He's like, "You were going to go around me, weren't you? There's a rule, you don't ever get behind a cop."
I go around cops weekly.
I don't know. This guy was an idiot. He's
over,
a dick.
Slightly overweight?
Oh, yeah. Looked like Hank Schrader. this guy did. I wish it was Hank Schrader.
Just roll your window back up and keep driving?
I was just parked in the parking lot waiting for these guys. I'm like, I'm waiting for two dudes. He's like, "Yeah, it is. You make our job so difficult." And I'm just like, yelling.
Did you show him your Blue Lives Matter shirt?
Sorry I ruined your day.
You said that?
I said, "Sorry I ruined your day."
What did he do?
He just kind of went on his bike away.
His little motorcycle?
Little motorcycle.
Did you tell him to get on his little bicycle and drive away?
I should have. I was
no,
thinking,
you shouldn't
I
have,
wanted
Trey.
To say, what?
Shouldn't have said any of that. You should have gone.
I was wanting to say.
You should have gone.
Don't you have
like
a protest to go tear gas?
Smells like bacon.
Justin, don't you have a protest to go tear gas? That was one of the ideas.
Okay.
Other idea was, don't you have an unarmed black man to shoot?
Ooh.
And nice. The other one is, don't you have a school shooting to run away from?
Oh, that would have been the
freaking
that would have been the
got
one.
Him.
He would have stuck his little pistol right in your mouth.
He would have.
You would have gotten off finally for the first time in your life.
I know.
I have a paintball story for you before we do what you've been playing.
Connor's weekly paintball story.
So we went
excited for this one.
Went paintballing this weekend. Between me and Jessica, one of us is more bloodthirsty than the other, and I'll let you guess who that is.
Jessica.
It's Jessica, for sure. She's got a lot of aggression to get out.
So she's got that dog in her.
We took the youths to play paintball. Okay. The last round we played a game called Pain or Paint, where it's just you play until you get hit so much that you're done or you run out of paint.
Okay.
So the last people...
So I've always hated like the idea that once you get hit once, you're done.
Well, it's like getting shot.
Yeah, I know, but like, come on.
Well,
okay. I want to play the whole time.
Anyway, the last two people in are Jessica and this, like, I don't know, 15-year-old skater.
It's like Billy Madison
and
with
the dodgeball.
And Jessica's just firing, just continuing to fire.
Oh, yeah. See this red in her eyes.
This kid goes, hands up, because he's out of paint. Jessica hits him several more times. The referee has to go. Tough. The referee has to go, hey, he's done. He's done. And then
I didn't see her eyes were soulless.
And she comes back over to everyone, and I'm like, "Well, did you what? Why you keep shooting?" And she was like, "Oh, I didn't realize he was done." And I was like, "Oh, did you turn your body cam off and then just keep firing?" And then someone else was like, "She thought he was going for his gun."
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So there you go. Anyway,
okay. She probably was envisioning Connor behind
yeah,
that mask.
Yeah, probably.
Just
yeah.
getting all out.
I thought it was odd that she didn't wait for him to turn around and run and then shoot him in the back. To be honest. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
We got him. Big A cab show today.
Yeah, it is a big A cab show.
Chicken.
I played a little bit of Mario Kart and Smash with a friend this week. I did download Hades. I played through the tutorial, and then I got really overwhelmed by all like
Wait,
the mission notes and
I thought
stuff.
You almost beat Hades.
Not Hades. Oh. Helldivers.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. Went through the tutorial. Tutorial.
Today,
and,
Junior?
I was about to say another Billy Madison.
Today, Junior. Yeah, that's a lot of Billy Madison today.
Yeah, two.
I mean, it's a lot for us.
Tutorial, then I kind of got overwhelmed by like the mission descriptions and all the like, there's just a lot of reading, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stop this for a little while. So I didn't really play much else of that, but yeah, I did play like Mario Kart, which is now, I think they had something with Mario Kart, like, hasn't it been 8 years and it's like the highest selling thing in the world ever?
Well,
Mario Kart?
while we were doing the cop story, a Nintendo news article came in that says Nintendo's Switch era profits are now more than all other Nintendo eras combined.
That is incredible. And
yes.
Is it adjusted for inflation, though?
Because
that's the only thing I would say is, like, I wonder adjusted for inflation.
Doesn't look like it is.
Either way.
But I'll bet that Mario Kart 8 has contributed wildly to that success.
Yeah, for sure. Mario Kart, what else? I mean, we play Rocket League, Smash.
You got smashed?
I got smashed.
Nice.
Yeah. Not much. I've been hankering to play. I've updated my backlog list a little bit, and I got like...
Took off like 27 of them?
Five games that I kind of want to play next, okay. So we'll get through those.
Awesome. Right. What have you been playing? You've
been playing Fallout, right?
I've been playing a ton, even more than last week, of Fallout New Vegas, and I am still not in New Vegas yet. I just like Walton Goggins warned against about getting sidetracked by every goddamn little thing.
Are you in Reno?
No, I don't think you can go to Reno. That's like far away. No, I am. I currently Veronica and I are stuck in Vault 34, and I am so poisoned with radiation that I cannot get out. I'm all out of Rad-X and Rad-Away.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know, but I gotta find the source of that radiation so the NCR troopers can water their crops again.
Oh,
Trey, yeah. I'm trying to help. I'm being a good guy. I've only stolen twice.
Okay.
But I'm really synergizing the like perks with the skills with the like special attributes for the first time, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I see what people. I love Fallout 4. It's probably still my favorite one, but I see what people mean when they say Bethesda turned it. After New Vegas, they turned it into a first-person shooter, not an RPG, because you don't have the like skills system where like if you increase your specials, like some of your skills will increase, and then if you get outfits that increase your skills, it'll give you better perks, and it's like it's super fun synchronizing like an energy weapons outfit with the energy weapons skills while taking some medicine that increases that and this and that. It's a great game. I see why Matt Spermingham likes
it. He's just doing chems over and over.
Oh, I'm fully addicted to a bunch of stuff.
He's hooked on
Jet. And I keep getting like weird headaches.
He's hooked on Jet.
Med-X, Jet, Psycho. I'm hooked on it all.
On Psycho.
Yeah. Psycho gives you a 25% damage increase.
Nice.
But yeah, I've been playing that. A little Civ in between, you know, when I need something logical to play. I think I realized the reason why I like Civ and why I've been playing it so much. Because my work throughout the day is so right-brained and creative and like gray area and open-ended that Civ is a nice left brain logical exercise of like plotting steps out in advance and hitting numbers, and
that's a great way to unwind. That's why I like Elotro, I think.
Yeah, same. That was a good left brain thing for me for a while as well. But hopefully by next week I'll be in New Vegas and I'll be able to report back.
All right.
Well, I hopped on the Fallout train and I'm playing Fallout 4 right now.
Whoa! Wait,
but it's sitting right here.
Yeah, why are you... I'm using Matina's PSN, and I got it for free.
Nice. Trey was going to charge you for his.
So
I need to get back on Fallout 3.
So what build are you? What build are you doing as the sole survivor?
I don't ever do a build. I just max out my luck immediately, and then I have
that's what I did.
Max out my luck, and then I have a high whatever like my senses are. I can't remember what it's called.
Perception?
Yeah.
Nice.
High perception.
Did you choose to go into the vault, or did you perish in 2077 on the streets of Sanctuary Hills?
I went into the vault.
Oh, look at that! Nice.
But
I'm back out.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. I do the same thing where I went and did like the first of the storyline missions, and then I was like, "F this! I'm just gonna go wherever."
Yeah, there's one thing that New Vegas suffers from a little bit. Is there's vast stretches of nothing. Whereas, like, I'm so used to Skyrim where every corner you turn has, like, an NPC, a quest, a cave, a little shack with a thing in it.
It feels like a game that was made before. Not Fallout 4. Fallout New Vegas feels like a game that was made before Skyrim, and I don't know if that's true or not, but...
It is. It was 2010.
But it also was Bethesda.
Right, but Fallout 4 is Skyrim-y in that there's stuff everywhere to do, and I loved it. It's great.
The one thing I don't like... I'm having a hard time finding ammo, but other than that...
Really?
Yeah, but I also...
There are perks that increase your ammo finding.
That might be helpful. But anyway, I'm just walking around, listening to fun music.
Yeah.
Killing feral ghouls.
I genuinely learned the layout of Boston like the back of my hand after.
Is that where
that
this
for
is set? Is it
months.
Set in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's downtown yeah. Boston.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I just finished Concord, and I got the. I don't like that they give you the suit. I don't like it, so I left
the power
it.
Suit. The power armor.
Yeah, I left it in the middle of a city. Took the core out, and I'll go okay. back if I want.
Kind
of
like Maximus. Have you been to Diamond City yet?
No, that's my next thing that I'm going to do.
That's so cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite.
I accidentally
you know what that is?
Well, let them find out.
Okay.
That's where I met my wife there. Yeah. That's where Piper lives.
Okay, yeah, Piper was my wife too.
Nice.
I'm just hanging out with Dog Meat. We're just chilling.
Oh, love Dog Meat. Love Wait. Eating it too.
But yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I'm playing Fallout. It's really fun.
Look at us, three gamer boys.
That's right.
I'm going to start... Back
in action.
Fallout 3.
Looney Tunes back in action.
All right, we got two.
Connor,
we got two.
Do you have a
quick hits?
Yeah, quick hits.
My quick hits are for this week. These are we had a conversation over text.
We did
about things I don't care about.
You don't care about a lot of things,
and so I'm gonna.
It's like it's worse than even hating because it's like there's no emotion to it. It's just so apathetic.
I'm gonna,
like, I need you to feel something about this. You're like, I don't care.
I'm gonna give you some quick hits that I thought of this week, and I'll make this recurring. So okay. next week, come back for more things I don't care about. But I separated it into games and non-games. So in the non-games okay. category, other people's babies and other people's weddings. Don't care about
either. Ooh, I'm in on both of those.
I like both of those.
Ooh, no, I hate both of those is what I'm saying. I don't care.
I think it's cool to see if the baby looks like my friend or not. Like,
well, it's gonna. Like.
Well, sometimes I look more like the wife. Sometimes I look more like the husband.
Sometimes,
that's a weird
it's
thing.
Interesting.
To,
sometimes they're so butt ugly you can't tell.
Yeah.
No. Other people's. I mean, if I'm invited to the wedding, yeah, I don't care.
I'm
about
so
it.
Over weddings. I'm so tired of the exact same bullshit at every wedding.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to go to one in Florida. I got to figure out a hotel situation because Jesus, they're expensive.
Might not be going to that wedding,
might
bud.
Not be.
Who is it?
It's a friend.
Is it Bob? College.
It sounds like a low tier.
It's Bob's turn.
No, is it Bob, your uncle, who's turning 71?
No, it's not my uncle Bob.
His 75th is this year, though.
Yeah.
Things in games August. I don't care about.
Okay.
Cooking in games that aren't cooking games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Crafting in games. I don't
that
care.
Aren't crafting focused?
Yeah, I don't care about either of those things. Don't tack sure. those on. It makes my game experience less
There's
fun.
A weird medium. When it's Minecraft, I love it. When you're crafting
well,
every single
literally
thing
in the name.
Right. And then if it's like Fallout, where it's like, hey, if you stop by a bench, you can throw together some ammo or a stim pack. I like that, too, because it's like, here's two ingredients you need. But if it's something like Zelda, mm-hmm. the crafting bothers me a little bit. Or like Stardew Valley, where it's like, you need an inconvenient amount of things to make stuff that don't really matter. That doesn't really matter, and that
no,
bothers me.
That don't really matter. I like it. the label JRPG...
Why?
Because it's just every RPG now. Every RPG is a JRPG for
well,
the most
JRPG
part.
Well, JRPG is just Japanese RPG.
Correct, but even American-made RPGs use JRPG to describe themselves these days.
Really?
Yeah, I thought
well, it's a certain
this...
style. It's like a turn-based kind of style.
Yeah, I thought through this
every...
while I was reading Video Game of the Year, in which I can't remember what year they gave Dragon Quest Game of the Year. So, that's the first true JRPG.
Oh. Who knew?
Now you do.
What else don't you care about?
Tony Hawk.
Thank you. I'm in on that.
So,
dude.
These are the things I don't care about for this week. Tune back in next
Love
week
it.
Where I don't care about some more.
It's Connor's militant, like, not caring about stuff.
Yeah.
It's like defiant opposition
He's
to caring about
defiant.
Things.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's not like if it was a hatred, it'd be like, oh, there's a reason
yeah.
I hate it.
Because we started with the eclipse. And what was the other thing you didn't care about?
The stars.
The stars.
Yeah. He's like,
not the celestial bodies, but the hockey
Like, he'll
team.
Go out of his way to avoid
yes.
Correct.
Those things. He'll inconvenience himself more just so he can say he didn't.
Will I watch a second of the Stars game tonight? No.
Wow.
If it was on at Trey's house and we were all hanging out, would you leave?
No.
Okay.
But I also don't know that I would sit down with the intent to watch it.
Do you think I would have a Stars game on in my house?
Trey's more likely to have Dragon Quest on in his house.
yeah. Connor, Game 7, Stanley Cup, the whole city's behind it. It's like all everyone's talking about. It's going to be an exciting game.
Okay.
You're not going to watch like at least like the last period just to be like...
No, I don't care.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, I don't even watch the Super Bowl.
I think I'm just naturally curious, and I will do or watch anything just to be like, oh, I experienced that, and I just don't understand where Connor comes
well,
from.
Maybe,
he doesn't care about God's creation.
He doesn't.
Maybe no, we'll have doesn't. More things to talk about next week.
Perhaps.
We got to end it the only way we can end it, which is this week in gaming history, and I have two for you this week. A twofer.
Okay. We've been hitting them. Trey and I have been
getting you guys
them.
Have been doing very well.
My Pikmin 2 last second save.
May 5th. 2009, I will give you a hint that it is PC related. It is a game.
Minecraft.
Trey?
Minecraft?
You're both incorrect. It is...
Fuck.
Plants vs. Zombies. The original.
Oh, that was a computer game? I thought that was a telephone game.
No, it was a computer game because I bought it on my computer, and that's the way I played it.
Did you ever play Worms? Worms 2.
Funny sentence out of context.
I think I got treated for that. I think my dog got treated for that.
Did your older brother ever make you play Worms? Like after parents went to bed?
Did you ever play Worms 2?
No, I also didn't play Worms 2.
That was a big PC game.
Ask George Washington that.
Me?
Did you ever play Worms 2?
Yeah, he wouldn't. His head would explode, but he would be flabbergasted.
Well, because then you go, okay, well, Worms 2 is a video game. And he goes, whoa, 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 stop.
Whoa,
what does that mean?
What's video?
Yeah, and then you have to explain, game? Well, okay, but it's like a visual thing that's moving.
What?
But it's on a screen. And then you have to explain a screen. And then you have to explain electricity. And then you have to there's a lot going on there. This is a great this is a good podcast idea.
Yeah, we'll get the kinks worked out. At the end of this show, I'm going to give you guys a worm fact. So,
okay,
look forward to that.
Is it the hermaphrodites?
No.
Well, I don't think that's a correct thing to say anymore.
I think it's a scientific term. Yeah.
Okay.
You can say hermaphrodite.
Okay.
All right. Finally, May 10th, 2016. This is a video game.
2016. I'm going to say Overwatch.
Uncharted 4.
Trey Mitchell,
oh my god,
make some noise for Free Chicken, baby.
Hell yeah.
Get loud for Free Chicken.
Get loud for Free Chicken. Uncharted 4, the best in the Uncharted series.
Absolutely. It is an incredible game.
I remember it came
game.
Out 2016. I remember it kind of being around this time of year. So
it's incredible. It is the only Uncharted game that I would ever recommend Austin play if he was ever to play one.
Yes.
4?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's the best one.
Two things.
Real
one,
quick,
it's the
one
best one.
I...
Two, it's pirate based. It's got pirates as the.
It's very Goonies like.
Yeah. I forgot to add something. I've also been playing. For some reason, Xbox pushes me like, "Hey, here's a new cloud gaming thing." I played about half an hour of the 2014 Tomb Raider.
Okay,
which is pretty fun. It was cool. You get to see down her shirt quite a bit.
Good, yeah.
There's very minimal HUD. The acting in danger is really exciting, and I'm curious. I've always been curious about Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Never really gotten into it, so maybe I'll keep playing this.
All right.
Well, there you go. Finally, on the docket.
I can't believe I got Uncharted 4.
Game of the week we need to decide on, fellas.
I'm going to say
Uncharted 4, game of the week.
I'm going to say Fallout 76 because it spurred a huge discussion.
Trey?
Or, no, Hi-Fi Rush. So
I'm
a Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah. Okay, Hi-Fi Rush.
I'm also going to vote Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out. R.I.P.
Shout out
to Tango.
The game of the week is Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
Hey, Trey, name two characters from Hi-Fi Rush.
His name is Axe, I want to say, or Ash.
Okay, so not even one.
I'm going to look it up because I don't believe you.
It's probably like Roger or something.
There might be a Roger.
There's no. They just don't have names.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say the character's name was?
Axe or Ash or
Ass?
No, the main character's name is Kai. C-H-A-R.
Kai, okay.
Chai.
Not even close.
He's a 25-year-old man with a disabled right arm and a dream to become a rock star.
That's why people didn't play that game.
He works at Vandalay Technologies. I think they do import-export.
Yeah.
It's a little Seinfeld reference.
Have you guys watched Unfrosted
No,
yet?
I heard it's bad.
Yeah, I hear it's terrible.
All right, well, hey, that's it for this week.
Wait,
oh,
worm fact.
Worm fact.
This week's worm fact. We got like five new segments.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you know that there were no earthworms in North America until the settlers came across the ocean from Europe and brought them with them?
Wow.
And they basically ruined all the soil over here, that trees would grow very deep and tall because the soil was
Why did they bring
it.
Them over here?
Incidentally, they were just in
It's things. Like how fire ants got here, which is a...
Yeah, kind of.
They just hopped a ride on like sod from South America that we put
Sod Yusuf?
Yeah. Sod Yusuf came across... From South America to America, and he just had fire ants in his pockets.
But worms basically ruined all of our great forests, and that's why we have such huge, vast prairie lands now.
That sucks.
There
man.
You go.
Cool. Well,
yeah, it really sucks. Pour one out for.
Hey,
worms.
Shout out to the worms.
And get loud for free chicken.
Get loud for free loud chicken, for free and we'll chicken. See you next week when we have Tim K on.
Bye.
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. How could I make you understand? We are radiant beams of light, shining bright even when we are small. In the fall.
This is where it picks up. The snare coming in. It's good. Gets you hyped. People know the chorus by this point, so they can sing with you and you go.
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. Huh. Huh. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall.
When was it? Tell me.
In the summertime. These visions, I can change them. Sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall
I think you guys are
in the summertime.